Tech Chat number 45 for December 17, 2009. This is Michael Off, and we welcome all of you. Tonight's topic is the best of 2009. Because what we're going to do is update some of the things that we initially talked about. We're going to look at some of the most popular tech chats and podcasts based on user input, emails, phone calls to the blab line. What were the highlights for you in 2009? Are we any better than we were a year ago? Do you feel that we've evolved? Are prices better? Have there been improvements in access technology? We have a page here, and we put about 60 links on it to talk about the number one thing to me, in terms not only of the blind community, but the public at large, is the mass adoption of Twitter. It's been around for a while. It certainly was not invented in 2009, but it has really taken off. And so what I did to begin here is the first link points you right to the Serotalk page on Twitter, twitter.com/Serotalk. And then links 2 through 20 show some of the most recent posts that we've made to our Twitter page. And that way, maybe it'll help you see the importance of Twitter and how it can be a tool for news, for social change, entertainment. JJ over at Blind Bargains just found 5 different games you can play on Twitter if that's where you want to go. Maybe you just want to stay up on family and friends. Although mainstream and different publications have kind of slowed down, I'm seeing some interesting things going on when you look at things through the eyes of the internet. Number two, for those of us who love Winamp, the official 5.57 has been released. You don't really know how improved it is. Link number three talks about the latest All Things Radio podcast number 39. And the reason I'm mentioning that is I somehow have fallen into the honor/fun/job of putting that together, editing it. Now, fortunately, it's not a podcast I have to do from scratch. There's a lot of great contributions from Bill Sparks and Jenny Sparks and Jeff Bennett and many great people. But if you're interested in radio, it is the All Things Radio podcast, allthingsradio.net. So if you're interested in the latest radio news, classic air checks, just finding out what's going on in the industry, format and call letter changes, and all the good stuff with terrestrial radio, there you go. It's allthingsradio.net. That brings me to something like 10, maybe 11 podcasts a month I'm kicking out. So that's good times on a stick. Link number four, I saw a couple other people post. It said, surprising reason that men chose their wife. Most men are choosing their wife, not because she's necessarily the prettiest, but based on kindness. And I agree with that. Great to have a girl that's smart. It's great to have a girl that looks good. But at the end of the day, if you're going to spend your life with someone, she better be kind. But another thing related to Winamp, something that's been out since 2000, I saw this again at Blind Bargains. So much good stuff over there JJ and Matt are coming up with. This talks about a text-to-speech plugin for Winamp that lets you read text and HTML so you can actually read some books through Winamp with synthetic speech. Now, you can't adjust the speed, so there's some limitations in it. Also from Blind Bargains, he announces that BookSense 2.0 firmware will be released this Monday after a presentation. A thing on a lot of people's minds this year, there's all these new devices, there's 5 different devices to listen to talking books. Which is the best device for me? It comes down to the file format you want to play, storage capabilities. GW Micro certainly shook up the industry with their BookSense because now it wasn't just the choice of the victor. While great in its initial release, now it has competition. Here's an interesting one. 10 new privacy settings every Facebook user should know. There's been a change in the terms of service with Facebook so that now, basically, unless you go in and make changes, all of your posts and people posting to your page will come up in Google. And so you may not want that. Not everything you want out there in the public domain. Remember, employers and potential contractors, what have you, look and can make judgments about you based on your Facebook page. So, you know, if you're out in the mix and looking for work, then we have to be mindful of those things, like it or not. Number 8, I got these as links 8 and 13, but number 8 here says, Obama sides with blind in the copyright treaty debate, and as you look down here, link number 13 talks about the RIAA and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other entities kind of working against the blind. There's a big debate going on right now, and there was an open letter asking for writers to put in their 2 cents and say that we want to have cross-border abilities to share books and content. And, of course, there's some that are afraid that if the blind, those with other physical limitations, are allowed to read and copy and have access to these books, that it will spur piracy. People obviously want to make things as restrictive as possible. And really, that's been a big thing for 2009. Of course, we started a petition. We heard about the Kindle with the talking menus from Amazon. Unfortunately, it was not going to be of any value to us. Serotext started a petition. Authors Guild got involved saying, no, we want to disable text-to-speech because that's public works. And some say really what they want to do is actually charge extra for the honor to have a book converted to synthetic speech. Then you saw the involvement of the National Federation of the Blind, the American Council of the Blind, and a number of other entities that all got involved. Most recently, Amazon stating that in 2010, they are going to come up with a Kindle that we should be able to use, although it is a little vague as to will we actually be able to download books, and will we know in advance if the text-to-speech for said books are disabled. Definitely 2009 has been a big year in terms of copyright issues. Number 9, tips, tricks, and hacks to make Windows 7 more accessible. We have some Windows 7 resources further down here on the page. Windows 7 is definitely the best operating system that Microsoft has brought to the table thus far, but it does have a learning curve. It does so much, and a lot of cool things are hit. Finally, the recordings for the blind Australia, or Blind Citizens Australia, have been posted. I think the actual convention was maybe 3 months ago, or at least 2 months ago, but those have been posted. They're MP3 files, so if you want to listen to, if you like listening to different conventions and listening to the proceedings. Blind Bargains also talks about the iPod Touch 32 gig. Originally came out at $299. We're seeing it at $269. The 64 gig for $358. So basically about 10% off of their initial prices when launched a couple of months ago. So if you want all the fun and features and capability, but don't want to pay the monthly excise tax to AT&T, you can certainly get the iPod Touch and go that route if you're happy not to have a phone. I love my iPhone, but it does have a couple weaknesses, and one of them itself is the phone, the reception on that phone. I mean, a lot of places, you walk around with it, oftentimes you can lose your connections. CNET's always been really critical of it, and I have to say, I kind of agree. Certainly, the iPod Touch lets you use, if you're interested in all the different applications that come with the iPhone, minus a couple. There are a few that you cannot use on the Touch. There's a new Dragon dictation that actually lets you type with your voice. 14. One of the big things that we've pushed in 2009, and Serotech has, Mike Cavill has from the beginning, the concept of using mainstream products when at all possible, using something that everyone else uses so that we get the same quality upgrades, the same low prices, and not having to pay more for proprietary software or hardware that actually performs less than what can be had in the mainstream market. So here's a few things on that note. OmniPage 17, the standard version, $103. Number 16, the Mobi Talking Forehead Digital Thermometer. Now, your forehead doesn't talk, but you can hold it up to your forehead and get your temperature. The entire device may not be accessible. Should be great for people with children or anyone who wants to have a mechanism to hear what your temperature is. Also works in the ear as well, so forehead or ear. Apple's going to come out with a new universal iPhone iPod dock that will actually mold to the shape of your device. One of the problems that people have had is they get different devices and the dock works for one but not the others. This device will supposedly actually mold to the shape of your phone or your device, and then if it doesn't work right, there's a little button on the front that will return it to full size and you put your device in and then it molds or contours to the shape. Some interesting innovation there, I believe, something to look forward to in 2010. 18 here talks about a new site. You know, we've talked about Hulu, and of course, there's all the networks that people can go to, at least the U.S. residents. But here's one, favorite-tvshows.com. So another place to catch some TV shows and movies. So enjoy that. Link number 19, talking about Skype version 4.2. I played with this last weekend, and what is kind of cool about it, I don't know how much I'll use it, but it is cool that you can now actually transfer your call. So if you're on a call with someone, and all of a sudden you need to leave, but you either want to continue the call, maybe it's a conference, maybe it's business related, what have you, you can actually right click and transfer that call, say to your cell phone. When your cell phone rings, pick it up and the call goes there and off you go and you take the Skype conversation with you. Everything I've seen thus far, it looks very accessible, Skype 4.2. So even though it's a beta, other betas have pretty much been stable. So if you want to play around with that, there is a link on this page to pursue that further if you like. So we hope that you will follow Serotalk on Twitter to stay up what's happening in technology and blindness. Another thing that we've done a show on before but is changing all the time, and System Access shines in this as the best screen reader to use, is the modern-day music sites. You don't just go and choose a station and hope you like what they're playing. You actually make your own station. You bring up a list of songs, or you enter an artist or group that you like, and then you do a thumbs up. Yes, play more songs like that, or no, skip that song. And they all have different models. Some let you skip so many songs an hour. Some, if you pay them a fee, will let you skip an unlimited number of songs. That's the future. That's where things are going. Build your own stations or genres of music so that you're really listening to what you want with good quality. And of course, they have iPhone apps, so whether you want to listen to it on your desktop or maybe your Macintosh or your iPhone, those are all options available to you. The first one is Slacker.com. This is one that Mike Calvo's really hot on. And unlike on the others, this one really just lets you skip songs you don't like. So you go in and you say, okay, I want to hear classic rock, or I want to hear soul. Choose a type of music. And then there's these variables like, do you want only the popular songs? Do you want more obscure songs? Do you kind of want a mix of both? Click and flick, depending upon the device you're using. And really have an experience where you really listen to the music that you want to. Number 22 is Pandora, the first and still the most popular of these in the United States. Now, they have changed their model where you have to pay. It's a small amount if you listen for more than 40 hours. Great sound quality. It was the first. Number 23 here is called Last.fm. I don't think they have quite as much variety, but it's certainly accessible. And it, I do think, works with about any screen reader. It's probably more forgiving than some of the other applications. Number 24 is called Lala, LALA.com. Really cool, over 8 million songs, the best prices for songs, most at 79 cents, I think some even 69 cents, up to $1.29, and usually that $1.29 is new stuff, so everything I look for was 79 cents. Or you can not really download the song, but pay a fee of 10 cents and then listen to that song online as many times as you like. So if you don't care about physically having possession of the songs, or you're using a variety of different computers and don't mind the whole concept of your music being on the cloud, so to speak, that's one way to do it. And you can listen to any song once, or any album, even an entire album, once for free. But recently, Apple has just bought Lala, and I don't know how that's going to change. That's going to be one thing to look at in 2010, because the belief is that they will set up a mechanism integrated into iTunes so that you'll be able to have your music online and stream it. And there's some benefits to that. Maybe you don't want to install iTunes at all. You can just get to your music when you want, if you have a slower processor, or you're at a work computer where you're not allowed or you don't have the permissions, but you could actually listen to your music online. 25 here is one that many people use, is Amazon MP3, where you get songs at 256K, so they sound really good. You've got songs for 99 cents a piece, or buy full-length albums and get a discount. And of course, they always have specials, either on certain years, different specials. The good thing here, a lot of people like, is the songs are unprotected. So once you download them, you can transfer them, put them where you will. You don't have to worry about any protection. Because even the Apple, iTunes, which is our next link here, iTunes, you can get music from there as well and download them. And they're M4A files. So they're non-protected in a way, but your name is affixed to those songs. So if you decide to just give them out, it's very clear where the songs came from, because your name is kind of embedded into the title or the tags of that song. And not all devices play M4A. So a lot of people like Amazon for that reason. But the thing about iTunes is it goes beyond music. You can also do TV shows. You can do some movies, either rent the movie for like $4.99, or there's some you can buy them outright. And there was a Disney movie, so there are some even DVS or descriptive audio movies available through iTunes. So a lot of folks using that as well. Moving on to top radio sites, it's a question I get a lot. Probably one of the newest entities that I've found, number 27 here, is called Radiotime.com. It's been around for a few years, but they have the largest collection of terrestrial radio stations. What I'm seeing is about half and half. About half users, at least based on Samnet, like terrestrial radio. They like the traditional stations that broadcast over AM and FM and in other countries and so forth. And the other half seem to like these internet-only stations that have a little better sound quality, maybe less commercials. A migration process where more people are switching from terrestrial radio to internet-based radio as they learn about its existence and that it has better sound quality and less commercials. And there's even been some recent articles posted believing that AM radio itself may be dead by 2020, with any existing stations either going over to HD2 or HD3 slots on an already existing FM station. Radiotime.com is free. It's something that if you love radio, now of course it's web-based, so it's going to play through your web browser. So if you like to get those links to Winamp, You might be a little SOL, but Bill Sparks informs me that this does interface with a application called TuneIn Radio that you can get for your iPhone, so you can actually go in here in your Radio Time account, make some favorites, and then import them as favorites or presets into your iPhone app called TuneIn Radio, which sells for $1.99. And speaking of Bill Sparks, he's still out there working away at it. I think he's at about 8,000 radio stations now. And of course, the key with BillSparks.org, for those of you who don't know, is you can search for stations in a number of different ways, by format, by city. And Bill provides direct links to the what are called embedded media players that are usually flash and play in your browser, but then also has direct links that you can use either for your cell phone, or great if you have a Nokia phone or something and you just need to pull down the PLS or M3U file, or maybe an ASX file for your Windows mobile device. 29. UTunes is a great app with 15,000 stations for your iPhone, the latest version allowing you to record. So you have a folder with a recording of everything that you've listened to, or you can turn that off in the preferences or the settings. So unfortunately, it's either or, either everything or nothing. There's no way to do it on the fly. So maybe that'd be a nice feature request. Link number 30. It's good old SAMobile.net. You know, part of your subscription with SA Mobile is you can log in with any browser, do your third-party email, listen to some radio, browse our user forums, use all the features from a variety of different machines, your phone or wherever it's convenient for you. Links 31 through 40 are our top 10 tech chats based on the number of emails or phone calls that we got. Probably our biggest discussions were number 31, our first tech chat talking about netbooks, a lot of interest in netbooks. And I think in 2010, there'll be some new developments, maybe some dual core processors and some things, hopefully speeding up the capabilities. Prices on certain items will come down even lower. We've seen them as low as $199. Also, we had identifying and labeling our belongings, digital servants to help us be more independent, talked about specific technologies that we use, audio recording and editing on our computer. This was a very popular one with Mike Cowell explaining mobile data plans and prices and costs to save those exorbitant fees that you get charged when you're at a hotel by bringing in your own pocket or portable router. Sleep quality, energy, and productivity with Joe Hall. That was a great show. I look forward to some other updates there in the future. Of course, we had Shane from Alabama who gave us a great demo. One of the first pretty thorough demos of the iPhone, and people really got a feel of its capabilities. Our initial talk about the BookSense from GW Micro. Buying food online, people are interested in it, but a lot of people are afraid to shop online. And we'll have some information coming up in a future podcast, not only tips for doing it, but some resources for people to help you make that first transaction if you're afraid to do so, or some one-on-one resources if you want to pay someone to walk you through it so that you feel comfortable doing it yourself. We believe a big announcement, you know, amongst the iPhone itself is our application, iBlink Radio. It's free, giving you podcasts, radio reading services, and radio stations owned and operated by the blind. I believe the iPhone is a great innovation. It's the first time that we've had equal access, you know, paid the same price as everyone else and have accessibility. Twitterlater Pro, I believe, is the best Twitter client. If you don't want to spend money, you can get Tweetero, and it works just as well. Facebook, this certainly affords some accessibility that we don't even see sometimes on PCs. Around Me, one of my ultimate favorites, just to find out restaurants and businesses within my immediate area. Urban Spoon, specifically for restaurants, and you can choose again by category, just like Around Me. Mobile Navigator, North America GPS, and of course you have it for other countries as well, but it's $89. Sometimes you get specials for $69. The concept of $69 or even $89 versus $280 or $845 for something for your mobile, your Windows mobile platform phone. So 10% of that cost with even greater functionality. That's what I'm talking about, folks, when I say mainstreaming. Book Player, and what it does is it interfaces between LibriVox.org, which is a public domain, 2,500 audiobooks, and you can go through your list of the books by category and download either the chapters or the entire book. It's all volunteer readers, but they do have some pretty high standards. I really haven't heard any really bad readers, obviously some better than others. I mentioned TuneIn Radio here with 30,000 stations. Still my favorite is UTunes, but I did want to mention this one with twice the capacity, I suppose. Of course, it is powered by Radio Time. AP Mobile, which I think has gone a little bit backward in accessibility, but still very nice from the Associated Press. That there's so many great news apps, but that one lets you get so specific and choose the exact types, whether you want news, sports, music, entertainment, whatever, weather, whatever you're interested in, state, local, national news, international news. Here's one called Madomi, M-I-D-O-M-I. A lot of folks are using something called Shazam. There were some accessibility issues with it. This one seems to work a lot better. Basically, you're listening to a song and you want to know who does the song, so maybe you want to purchase it, or you just want to know, you can use this application to do that. Maybe you're in a restaurant and they're playing a song on a speaker, or you can even sing the song. So, and we tried it, and he said, I want to be a cowboy, and you could be my cowgirl, and it worked. Fandango, if you're into movies and just finding out what's at your local theater. But I had one called Local Concerts. It showed so many concerts at venues I was not even aware of, much less bands that I was not even aware of were currently touring. And I thought it was a really good app if you like music and like to get out a little bit. And so whether you're into the Christian music scene or the mainstream stuff, or don't mind going to some smoky bars just to hear some bands that maybe has-beens as far as radio charts, but you just kind of like their music, optimizing Windows XP. A lot of good tips there to speed up the performance and the speed of your machine. And number 52 is a little geekier. Tech Chat 19, we called XP Tweaks for Geeks. I call these the podcast highlights, and I mentioned six particular ones. Item here, number 53, was our ATIA 2009 highlights. Certainly, I was very excited. My first chance with the company to go out and do this and do interviews. It was a really good time. And of course, we announced there the death of the SMA. We had these cool styrofoam displays that said RIP SMA. And we announced the elimination of the software maintenance agreement, so that you basically pay one-time fee for system access and get free lifetime upgrades. Number 54, talking about the CSUN 2009 highlights. And that was really cool, going out to LA and learning about new things like the Plextalk Pocket, which of course we now support, and you can copy your audio to that device. Item 55, some of the ACB convention interviews. Had a really good time there, meeting a lot of great people and a chance to answer questions. And it's one thing to work and promote your product even online, but it's quite another to be face-to-face with people and shake their hands and kind of find out what their questions and concerns are. Item 56, of course, was the announcement not only of the $69 GPS solution, but I think the one I got the most comments and emails on were the 10 radio apps for the iPhone. That showed that if you like radio and you want a radio in your pocket, the iPhone is the tool to do it. Item 57 was the one where we talked about system access being your best option for the NFL Field Pass. One of my favorite interviews in the entrepreneurial segment, speaking with Jerry Wheatley about building homes from scratch. The release of Snow Leopard for the Mac, we showed how to do a basic upgrade. Probably better to do a clean install. You know, the Mac's been talking for a while, but 2009 seems to be the year, the efforts of Mike Arrigo and other folks, that a lot of folks have adopted it and have appreciated the ability, A, to get it for the same price with a built-in screen reader, the ability to back it up and even boot off of an external drive, and being able to do all this without sighted assistance. And I just got something today that I hope is going to let us give some Windows access without sighted assistance. It's a program we talked about before. I'm going to play with it a little bit more before I go into the specifics, but there may be an option now for us to make a bootable USB drive that'll emulate the Windows drive if your motherboard allows that. So I'll let you know as we test that, and hopefully that'll be something great to give users of Windows the access that we need and deserve. Item 58, another entrepreneurial segment, and just one that just moved me a lot just because I thought he was an awesome guy, and he lost his life about 12 days after this presentation with Michael Breyer. And I would really encourage listening to this interview with blind mechanic and entrepreneur Michael Breyer. It was very motivational. If I listened to him, it wouldn't have happened. He wanted to wait and get his DSL fixed, but I was concerned that may never happen. And I cleaned it up as best I could, and we had quite a bit of conversation even afterward, which I wish now I'd kept. It was very moving, and I hope that when you think you got it bad and you think that you're doing all you can do and you can't do any more, I would listen to that. It's a very inspiring discussion. And my last two links here, number 59 and 60, have to do with Windows 7 resources. 2009 brought us Windows 7, the best operating system yet from Microsoft. 59 and 60 are some links to previous tech chats. Number 38, the one I did, showing some options for it, including speech recognition and so forth. Number 60, our original one, Tech Chat 31, the good, bad, and indifferent. Ignore comments about the U3 because those issues have been resolved. It's still a little challenging, but you can get your U3 smart drive to load system access on that device. And then on the bottom here, I got some more useful keyboard tips that I found for Windows 7. Peter Bosley is saying he'd like to see increased Android accessibility, see it built in natively in Google. Peter, I don't know if you have voice chat capabilities. I'd certainly like to hear your comments on that. One, there's a new list set up. There's a YouTube page with some videos that shows parts of it. It seems to be a little unclear about it. Like, part of it's built in, but part of it you have to go and install as a third-party module, and you have to go into this Marvin shell to accomplish that. Okay, Mike Arrigo, your thoughts tonight.
2009, I think, was awesome. Of course, Snow Leopard out, being able to totally install the OS. Certainly the iPhone and the iPod Touch.
another reading solution for the Symbian phone. So since you have a few of those lying around for £75, you can get a demo of it, and we got a link in the socializer for it.
Android has an open source screen reader that's available now, and it's called TalkBack, and I installed it on a couple of devices, namely the Google G1, which is the original device, and a MyTouch 3G. And it provides kind of basic access to the home page, and you can kind of see the applications you have installed, and it'll read you the time and the signal strength, and you can access the dialer. But if you're to open anything like your contacts or email or anything like that, nothing's accessible. And the documentation on the API says the application developers need to explicitly define every one of their elements. It doesn't provide ubiquitous access like the iPhone does. I was talking to somebody on Twitter the other day, and they were saying that you know, oh, we're a small market. There's no reason for Google to consider us. And I'm frankly tired of hearing that.
That's going to be a downside to the open source movement. Apple gets ridiculed and ribbed because it is kind of closed, but the trade-off is that allows them to maintain control of it and make sure that they have the widest number of applications are accessible.
Open source is good in that you're right. Developers can pretty much do anything. It doesn't take much effort to make an application accessible. All they have to do is define what they're showing, define how to interact with it. It's not that difficult.
Firefox 3.6 and the new Thunderbird 3.0. Peter, have you played with either of those?
I have Thunderbird here. I haven't had too much time to mess with it. Firefox 3.6 is fine. System Access is fine with it as well.
Peter, question as we wrap down here, if you've seen any evolution on the Linux front in 2009?
Not really on the consumer end of things, no.
Ubuntu, is that accessible?
Ubuntu has Orca in it, and then they've also got another one, and I forget what that one's called. I think it may be called Festival, but we really haven't seen much change in that lately. There's some usable stuff, but it's pretty limited at this point.
What about bootable solutions? Have you seen or done much there, Peter? What I was talking about earlier was there's a new Casper 6.0. You can make a bootable USB drive. If this will be a complete OS that you can boot and use or restore, or use it at least to restore another image, I'm just curious what you've been able to do on that, whether it's USB sticks or a DVD that talks.
Windows pre-boot environment, you can kind of build a custom version of Windows that runs off of a bootable USB drive. Now, the problem is, in order to have a valid license to mess around with this, you kind of have to be an enterprise customer. But you can pretty much run any application that you could run in Windows on there. So I haven't tried it, but I would imagine that System Access could even run on this pre-boot environment, NVDA, or as long as you could get all the dependencies to fit on the CD. And something similar could probably be rigged up without too much trouble. And I see where you're going with it, allowing people to install their own copies of Windows, and that's something that might be worth investigating.
Mobile speak. 4. The way it's going to work, you have two licensing choices. You can license it to your phone number, and that's kind of nifty because as long as you keep the same phone number, which now phone numbers can be ported, so even if you switch SIM cards, switch phones, and you don't have to deactivate it off of the first one, so if the phone would be lost, stolen, you simply activate it on the new phone, and you can transfer it between Symbian and Windows Mobile, or you can choose to have it licensed to the particular handset, kind of like how Talks and Mobile Speak used to do it. You can choose one or the other, but the good thing is, even with the phone number one, if you like travel abroad and you want to use a different SIM card or even use the phone without the SIM temporarily, you can, and I think it'll just ask you to insert your SIM like every 12 hours or something like that. You just pop it back in to verify that you in fact have the license. So it does give you a lot of flexibility.
Thanks a lot, everyone. Hope you have a great holiday season here. We're coming back in 2010 with some new topics, and always welcome your suggestions, resources at cerotalk.com, or you can call the Blab line at 866-997-BLAB, which translates to 2522. It's toll-free in North America. Makes the difference on the show. That definitely directs the topics and the issues that we address. So until we meet again, catch you right here on January 7th. Take care, and stay connected, and stay directed.